Madagai Gimbai, Biriti Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kid.
Welcome to King's Kids, I'm Heidi, and today Tony is sharing on a topic we all need to hear about, and that's our health. Most of us have some sort of health problems, and Tony is going to share some of the problems he has had health-wise and how he is learning to overcome his health issues.
Today I want to talk about health, our body being the temple of God, and how God expects us to look after our body. And you know, for years I've struggled with weight as an adult, like a hot water system, hot and cold. There's been times in my life, you know, I've struggled with weight because of pressures of life, different jobs, different lifestyles, fast food. For years I had a job, I was on the road 3 weeks out of every four, living in a motel, well, not eating in a motel. It was called the famous Golders Arches. You know, two all beef patties on a sesame seed bun. And you're having that 5 nights a week, or good old Red Rooster. And not to forget the old Kentucky Fried. They're all favourites when you're on the road and working constantly. And you get what they call a travel allowance, the old TA. You know, if you used your TA properly and ate healthy, it wouldn't be an issue. But, like, we're only human, so most of the times you've tried to save as much as the TA as you could and live on the cheap, and it's not good for your health. God wants us to look after our bodies because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants us to do, is to put a bit of effort. Instead of driving 200 yards to pick the kids up from school, maybe walk up and pick them up and walk home with the kids. Get out on the weekend and kick a football instead of just watching the football on telly. You know, I know last winter I had a shocking winter. I mean, I put on more weight than you can poke a stick at. I had this Christian brother who likes to eat, and I had an unsaved brother come around, and you don't see a fat fella that can't cook, and I can cook. We was having every Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, we'd have 3 meals, big desserts, apple pies, ice cream, then knock it over with a couple of bottles of soft drink and a big packet of potato chips. A good recipe for looking after your body. Anyway, I decided to get up early every morning, and I'd going to go and pray. You know, and I started praying for God to help me lose the weight. And I prayed 6 months, non-stop, every morning, 7 days a week. And sometimes, except Sunday, I wouldn't pray for 8 hours or 6 hours, sometimes 4 hours, 2 hours. And man, I couldn't get clothes to fit me. I was like Fat Albert. And you know what? I kept saying to God, why don't you help me out of here? I said, God, you know, I'm faithful to you. I come and I pray every day. I get up early. And you know, I'm praying for you to help me lose the weight. And you know what, Lord, I'm getting fatter. And while I was sitting in the car and just spending time with God, God said to me, he said, you want to lose weight, Tony? I said, yes. He said, why don't you try walking and praying? He said, the more time, if you want to walk 6 hours a day and pray, they said that'll be good for your weight. But he said, if you want to sit in the car and pray for 6 hours a day, then go home and sit in front of the telly watching soapies, watching The Days of Our Drearies and some of the other shows I used to record so I can watch them when I come home. And you eat a packet of Smith's Crips, you know, I'm not talking the little baby packets, no, the little kid snack packs. I'm talking, you know, the big packets. You know, then you'd go and have 2 or 3 sandwiches. A cup of tea. Well, you couldn't have a cup of tea without a Bicky. Even the good Lord wouldn't expect Tony to have a cup of tea and not a chocolate Bicky. And I wondered why I was putting on weight. I was spiritually all right. I was reading my word and I was praying every day to God. And I was getting a bit cranky with God, to be honest with you, because I weren't losing the weight. And God said to me, Tony, stop putting stuff in your mouth. Stop filling it up with rubbish. You drink soft drink all day. You sit in front of the telly when you're not been out praying. He said, as black as you are, God said, you wouldn't walk out of sight in a dark night. He said, man, you're getting fat. He said, and that other fat brother of yours, that brother Booker, I mean, the two of yous. You wouldn't get in a Tarago van on your own, the two of yous. You're too big. Not so squeezy. So God said, you know, we started on this diet. I decided, Lord, well, I want to get healthy. Lord, no good expecting you to heal my diabetes. No good expecting you to heal my obesity. No good expecting you to heal my kidney problems that I've had. Lord, when I'm not doing the right thing, when I'm not looking after my body. And I tell you what, there's a lot of Christians out there in the same boat. I know you are, because I go from different churches from time to time, and I see you in there. I tell you what, I've seen you for the buffet when there's morning tea after church. I tell you what, you knock women and kids over, some of you fellas. Nothing like getting together after church. I used to look forward to Sundays, because that was when I'd go to my church, they'd have cakes and they'd have homemade. Oh, everything was homemade. It was beautiful. I tell you what, you wouldn't need lunch when you got home. But as fat as I was, I'd have lunch when I got home. I've been asking God to heal my body for years. I've been asking God to help me lose the weight. And it wasn't until that morning sitting in the car that God said to me, Tony, I'll meet you halfway. You stop shoving all that garbage in your throat, and you stop eating all that rubbish, and you start exercising. You don't have to do much, he said. Just walk to the mailbox. Go for walks around the Hovel. But he said, you don't rob me of my time either, God said. You got to learn to walk and pray. You got to walk along and talk with me and spend time with me. You know, I was on a good routine right up till Christmas. Then I had Donna's boy, Rory, and my son, Kim. I had them over Christmas, and you know what I mean? My excuse was, well, Tony, they're only little boys. You can't go out walking early in the morning like you've been doing every other day, because you know, what if they get in the mischief? I had all the excuses. I had more excuses than a porcupine's got quills not to go for a walk. And because you're making chocolate milkshakes with the boys, and you're making pancakes and toast with raspberry jam and all that. Well, being a good dad and a good host, I had to make sure that everything they ate was okay for them, because, you know, you could have got a bad tin of raspberry jam. So I had to have everything they was eating, and I just put on the weight. And I had a break, and I wasn't doing much. And then the Lord said to me, Tony, you got to get fair income. You want me to heal your body. You got to get fair income. So again, 2 weeks ago, I started walking again, and I started praying. And you know, nothing I love better than to get up first thing in the morning, roll out of bed, have a glass of water, pray, and walk while I'm praying. An hour goes by so fast when you're walking and praying and talking to God. Then I come home, then now I make myself a healthy shake. It's a nice smoothie made of water, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, and it goes in one of those NutriBullets. I have that for breakfast. I try to have another one for lunch and a small meal at tea time. If I don't have chips and chocolates in the house, I will run out and buy them, and then I'll binge. I'll have a little binge with them. But if I leave them in the house and don't open them, they can sit there for months, and I won't feel the need to gorge out on them. And I give myself a little treat once a week. Once a week, I might go and have a bit of a $2 burger at Macca's or have something, or I'll treat myself to a chocolate bar. But, you know, I realise it's just as important to what we put into our body is what we put into our spirit. You know, when we sit down and digest the Word of God and we spend time studying God's Word, that goes into our body, into our spirit, and it only gives us nutrition, nourishment to get God's Word into our spirit. And it equips us for life when the emergencies come, when things come. We can rely on the God's Word that we're putting into our spirit. And you know what? If we start to worry about what we put into our mouth, and we exercise daily, and we limit ourselves to the amount of food we have, shorten the intake. You don't have to sit down to a meal that would feed a family of refugees for a day. What's left over on your plate? You know, you just got to start thinking consciously. Be health conscious. I know God is a miracle worker, and God wants to keep us healthy. God wants to heal us when we need a miracle. But can you imagine how busy God would be for all us Christians that are obese, was pestering God's helpline all day long for spiritual Jenny Craig to come down and help us lose weight? The switchboard in heaven would be overflowing. It'd jam up because there's a lot of overweight Christians. And we really need to start thinking about what we're doing, because God expects us to be healthy. God expects us to make an effort. And then if we do have a crisis with our health, and if we're making an effort and doing what God wants us to do and treating our bodies with respect, then we can always count on God to help us. God will always help us. You know, we just got to realize that what we put into our body is just as important as what we put into our spirit. If you struggle like I do, don't sit in your car like I used to go around to the Oval. Don't sit in the car and pray for 4 or 5 hours. Then go home and have a milkshake and have a big packet of chips and a couple of donuts on the side. And when you're going through Settlement City, you know, you come to Donut King, you know. I used to say, devil, get behind me. And he used to push me right into the front queue, right in front of the shop to be served first. And, you know, I cut out all that rubbish. I eat a lot of fruit. I eat a lot of vegetables. I eat well. I exercise. You know what? I got an inside push bike. I've clocked over 60 hours. 60 hours in the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I've clocked over 60 hours. And I tell you what, some days is easy, but other days are rough, you know. But I stick it out. Because you know what the Bible says to me? He says, Tony, you're an overcomer. And when I really don't want to be on that bike, I'm an overcomer. And you know why I'm an overcomer? Because I pray while I'm riding the bike. I pray. I pray for people. I pray for family. I pray for whatever God wants me to pray for. And it's so easy to turn the telly off and to pray in the spirit while you're riding the bike. So easy to pray when you're walking around the Oval and praying in the spirit. I've really enjoyed a longer walk of an afternoon around the beaches, around the break wall, and the amount of nice people you meet. It's better than sitting in front of the telly. You're getting out there and you're meeting people all the time. And you're being nice to people. You just say g'day. As Australians, we've lost the ability to say g'day. You walk along, your people are power walking, and they got those little earphones in their head, whatever they are, and iPhones, iTunes, whatever you want to call it, they've got it. And some of them have got all the little bands on their wrist, and you know, and they got the little fluoro track pants and things like that. And I always say g'day to somebody when they're coming the other way. And some of them will stop and say g'day. Other people will say g'day and keep going. But you know what? Some people look at you like you're really weird, like you're strange. That person talked to me? Did that person really talk to me? You know what I mean? We've lost the heart of being friendly. And you know what? As a Christian, if you're out there walking, it's your duty to say g'day to somebody. It's your duty to say, hello, mate, how you going? And that's all for, even if you say nothing else. G'day, mate. How's your day been? Doing it tough today. Doesn't matter how hard I climb this hill, it gets harder every time. But just say something nice to people. Make contact with the human beings and let them know they're loved. You don't have to carry a Bible with you when you go for a walk. You don't have to bash them over the head. But if you smile at somebody and if you say something really nice, somebody will stop you and talk to you. I had a woman talk to me the other day. She said, this is the third time I've seen you out here this week. It's just a little opener. And one of these days, she'll say something, and then I'll have a Minty's moment. I'll have a God moment. I'll be able to share something from God to her. It'll be a little God moment, not a Minty's moment. It's time like these you need Minty's. Well, it's time like these you need God.
Day by day, no more reaction. You are my. Now, that's what I love about it. That's what I love about it. Oh, yeah. Hey, 'cause it won't ever go away. No.
When we talk about Aboriginal health and we talk about why Aboriginal people are reluctant, so reluctant to go to hospitals and see doctors and GPs, I want to give you a bit of history and take you back a little bit. Back in the 60s and back in the 50s before the referendum, Aboriginal people weren't actually allowed in hospitals. And where I come from, in Moree, they actually set up an army tent behind the morgue. Most Aboriginal people were treated in the army tents. And because Aboriginal history is verbal, it's not written, it's oral history, and people talk about their experiences quite often. And when you get a good experience, it's, you know, you talk about something really good, people listen to it. But I tell you what, nothing spreads quicker than wildfire if there's a bad experience. And when you're dealing with hospitals that didn't allow people to go into hospital to be treated, they were treated behind the morgue in an army tent. And the conditions were appalling. And a lot of Aboriginal people, when they actually went in there because of their treatment and lack of treatment, they would die. And so when word spread, oh, well, you don't want to go to that place because you only go there to die. And then they got rid of the army tents and they built a McMaster's ward, just one ward, staffed by entirely by Aboriginal people except for the white matron. And the thing was, nothing really changed. I remember as a kid, I went in there for an operation. And it was bad, it was shocking. But when you're Aboriginal and you're not allowed to mix with white people and go into white hospitals and things like that, you don't know any better, you don't know any different. And you know what, I would like to think that it changed. But it hasn't changed so much. Just up the road here from Port Macquarie, only a few years ago they had utensils and sheets at an hospital and it said for Aboriginals use only. Even labelled on the knives and forks and labelled on the bed linen and the sheets and the towel, and it was embroidered on it for Aboriginal use only. And so the stigma hasn't really gone away. And a lot of Aboriginal people today are so afraid of going into hospitals because of the bad experiences had many years ago, and a lot of things don't change. Recently, my brother, he got sick at home, and only a couple of months back, he went to the local hospital, presented, and he said, look, I've been fainting, and I've been losing my balance and falling over things and walking around and running into things. He said, so there's something wrong with me, but I don't know what it is. Anyway, they examined him, took a few tests and blood tests and whatever and sent him home. Told him to take a couple of aspirins, you'll be okay. 2 weeks later, he seems to be getting worse, and my family visited him, and he was sitting in the chair, like, looking into space and didn't know really where he was. So they took him back to the hospital and another day of tests, and they said, look, mate, there's nothing wrong with you, you better go home. And then the family said to him, you know, you need to get out of there. You need to get yourself to Sydney. And because of the way he was, bumping into things and losing his balance, he thought it was best if he paid for an airfare and flew himself to Sydney. Another brother actually picked him up at the airport and took him to RPA. And he was only there a couple of hours, and they admitted him straight away. And the doctor came around and saw him the next day and said to him, mate, if you didn't fly yourself here today, you'd be dead. Anyway, his calcium levels, well, I still can't get my head around calcium levels. What's calcium levels got to do with killing you? But it will kill you if they're very high. And I'm not sure what the acceptable level is. I think it's about 100 or something like that. I'm not 100% sure. But when he was admitted to RPA, his calcium levels were off the charts. They was over 350. They admitted him to hospital, put drips and everything into him, tried to reduce their calcium levels. And he was there for 2 weeks before they discovered that he had liver cancer. And they gave him not a reasonable time, but they told him he had between 6 and 12 months to live. And we're talking about healing in our bodies and what we do with it, and how we take care of our bodies and what we should do now. My brother's been a drinker since he was about 16, He's 61 now, and he's drunk pretty heavily all that time. The Lord said to me, Tony, you need to go lay hands on him and pray for him, and I'm going to heal him. And I was putting it off, procrastinating about it, and about going to Moree. It's a 6-hour drive and 6 hours back, and to do it all in one day, you know. But the Lord said to me, Tony, I want you to go to Moree and pray for two people. So I prayed for old Bomber, for a hip, you know, who needed healing in his hips because he needed a hip replacement. And then the Lord told me to go and pray for my brother. I did that. And my brother then went in the hospital 2 days after I prayed for him again. But you see, it's not whether he's healed straight away or instantly. God said, go pray for him and lay hands on him. See, it's not up to me to determine when God actually heals him. It's up to God. I did my bit. I was faithful and I went and did that. And I prayed for old Bomber. And I also prayed for a woman in New Zealand, which brings me to a point that I want to raise, that a family living in Port Macquarie had only recently moved here, actually heard me on the radio, and they couldn't quite catch my phone number when it was given out. They actually rang the radio station and pleaded to get my phone number, and they rang me, and they thought I was in Moree living, because to show that they heard I was talking about Moree. But when I rang them back and I asked them for their address, to send me their address, they thought I was probably sending something in the mail. But they got the shock of their lives when I turned up at 6 o'clock that night after talking to them on the phone and offered to pray for them. After explaining what King's Kids Ministry is all about and what God has called us to do, that we're going to, you know, minister on the radio, we're going to pray for people, we'll lay hands on the sick, we'll do whatever God wants us to do. And he said to me, I rang you because my sister in New Zealand, she's mature, she just had her first baby, and she got diagnosed with liver cancer, and she's not doing really well. And he said, I just felt that if, after hearing you on the radio talk about miracles and things like that, I thought, we got nothing to lose by asking you to come and pray for us. So what I did was explain how healing works and how God works, and I just asked him to have complete faith and trust in God, what he's going to do. And he said he was going to fly to New Zealand to see his sister because she wasn't looking really good. It wasn't promising at all. But you see, he stood in the gap for her, and I prayed for him. I prayed for him, prayed for his whole family, and I prayed for his sister as well. And then I've been meaning to catch up with him, and about 3 days ago I decided to ring them. And he'd just come back from New Zealand. He said before he went there, they didn't give him much hope. But he said after I'd prayed for him and prayed for her, when he got there, there was a big turnaround in her health. At this stage, we can't say God's completely healed her, but she looks well on the way to recovery compared to what she was. And then I spoke to my brother again yesterday, and he's improving as well. See, sometimes when God heals people, we get a miracle and they're healed straight away. But other times, it's a slow process because God's doing it one day at a time. And you see, it doesn't matter how God does it. We just got to believe and trust that God's going to look after our health. Now, God's been telling me for a while that he's going to completely heal my body. But it takes patience and perseverance because God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to heal you gradually. And you know what? I want God to heal me like it was yesterday.
God chooses how he will answer our prayers, and he also chooses when he will answer our prayers. We live in a society of instant this and instant that, and like Tony, we want our prayers answered yesterday. Tony, what is your suggestion to people who want an instant answer?
Like I said, I want God to heal me today. But you know what? If you're struggling out there with your health, and you're struggling and you need God to do a miracle and give you a healing, well, you know, you don't need to go to anybody else. You can talk to God direct. But if you don't know how to do that, if you're struggling with that, then ring me, talk to the King's Kids Ministry team, and we'll be happy to come and pray for you. And we'll show you we can do it on the phone, we can come and do it in person, depending on how far away you are. But if you're locally, that won't be a problem. But just give us a call, put your trust in God, and everything will be okay.
Thanks for being part of the King's Kids family. If you would like to talk to Tony about anything you've heard on the program today, you can ring him on 0427 839 474. If you would like to hear the program again, go to kingskidsministries.org and follow the links. Bye for now, and we will see you next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.